from the heart of our nation's capital. This is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, liberals avoid taking a stand, Virginia officials remove the flag, and forced sterilization of minorities in China. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. As the nation continues to see violence grow from groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the president spoke on July 3rd from the recently completed amphitheater at Mount Rushmore. Here's just a portion of his speech to start off our program.
Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they are doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
Well, this violence, mob violence, that is enveloping cities across the nation. Last week, Utah Senator Mike Lee went to the Senate floor to speak about this and put forth a simple resolution. None was it going to solve the problems. They're still trying to work on that. It was just going to put the Senate on record saying, we condemn this lawlessness. But it didn't happen. Why? Joining us now to talk more about this is Senator Mike Lee of Utah, who authored last week's resolution. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be with you.
Well, Senator, it looked pretty straightforward to me, just a simple resolution calling on the Senate to renounce, to condemn the violence that was taking place across the nation. It just said it started this way. The United States of America was founded in 1776 on universal principles of freedom, justice, and human equality. Throughout our nation's history, Americans have struggled to realize those ideas, but nonetheless made greater progress toward them than any nation on earth. And it's being put at risk with the violence, and you called on your colleagues to pass it, but they would not. Why?
Yeah, they would not because they decided that they couldn't agree with that. And it really is stunning. It was surprising to me at the time. You know, an innocent man was shot by Black Lives Matter supporters in Provo, Utah, just last Monday. This poor man was not trying to make a statement. He was just trying to get home. And Black Lives Matter supporters surrounded his car in downtown Provo, and one of them shot him. That's completely unacceptable. And so my resolution, all it did was call on the Senate to condemn violence and physical assault and destruction of property. The resolution was designed to be unifying. It avoided controversial subjects. All it asked of us was basic dignity and civil respect. And apparently that's to ask for today's Democratic Party. We've got to start defunding those that hate America and do it on America's dime.
I mean, it's becoming quite evident, Senator, that this partisan divide in the Senate, that there are those that see this as political opportunity and political theater. For instance, just the week before last, your colleague, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, had a measure put forward to address the issue of police brutality and just to begin to address the issue. The same thing happened. Democratic members of the Senate, with the exception of two, blocked it and kept it from even having debate on the measure.
Yeah, that's right. That is indicative of how far we've descended in all of this. It really is kind of crazy. And in fact, to put a point on this, to demonstrate the fact that they didn't really find the language itself objectionable, but wanted to use it to score political points, they offered to let it pass as long as we would insert language saying all elected officials, especially the president of the United States, need to understand that, you know, it's important not to inflame other people. And I said, look, I'll take the rest of the language, but I'm not going to let you keep in the part about the president of the United States. I'm not going to let you turn this into an anti-Trump rant, because the whole point of it was to be unifying rather than to be partisan. They wanted to make it partisan. I wouldn't let them do it. But as I pointed out to them, you know, this really is going to bring up a lot of additional topics. We've got federal funds going to colleges and universities that punish free speech and discriminate against religious students and conservatives. We've got city councils who defund their police departments and refuse to protect public safety. We've got school districts who embrace the ahistorical nonsense of the 1619 Project. These people are hating America on America's dime, and it's time for us to cut off their allowance.
That makes perfect sense, I think, to most Americans. I want to go back to your resolution for just a moment, because basically it concludes with, therefore, be it resolved that it is the sense of the Senate that the rising tide of vandalism, mob violence, and the mob mentality that feeds it, including its cruel and intolerant cancel culture, should be condemned by all Americans. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. It is anti-American. It undermines the very republic, which extends to them the freedoms that they are taking advantage of, and quite frankly, the lawlessness that is raging throughout cities. My conclusion is, Senator, that what we see happening on the streets in many ways is a product of America's anti-American education system.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. They have co-opted the entire system so as to get people to hate America. You no longer see civics and principles like federalism and separation of powers being taught in schools the way they used to. And instead, what you see is a lot of sort of self-loathing anti-American propaganda, which is really disturbing. And this is why it's so important for us as families to talk about these things around the dinner table, to tell the stories of America's founding, about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
You're absolutely right. This is a time where parents, grandparents need to step forward and fill the vacuum that has been created by an educational system that is hostile to these founding principles, but in doing so undermines their own authority and their longevity.
You can find out more about Mike Lee when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And I want to let you know that even in these challenging times in our country, it is an honor to serve you and your family through this broadcast. Every day, FRC experts work on multiple fronts to uphold biblical truth and equip citizens like you to engage the culture. There is much work to be done, and your timely gift can make all the difference. Visit TonyPerkins.com to help us fulfill our mission to be your voice for biblical principles and impact even more lives with the truth. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. And be sure to stay with us through the end of the show. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins Tony Perkins to talk about new reports out of China. That's later on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy of Man to Man wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In the lead-up to the 4th of July celebration, officials in Virginia ordered the removal of an American flag from a construction site on private property. Joining FRC's Tony Perkins to talk about the move is Todd Gilbert, state delegate from the 15th District of Virginia. Here's Tony Perkins.
Todd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. Sorry it has to be on a topic as infuriating as this one.
Well, I really think people need to pay attention to Virginia and what has happened in Virginia in the last couple of years. I mean, it's always been kind of on the bubble because of the influence of the D.C. area. But, I mean, you just enacted, or I shouldn't say you, the state of Virginia under the governor, enacted some pretty far-reaching legislation, gun control, turning back a lot of the pro-life legislation that you and others had successfully fought to put in place. But this is what really grabbed my attention, the removal of an American flag. Tell our listeners why it was taken down.
Yeah, and this was a large American flag that had been constructed out of tarps. And it was just glorious. It was huge. It was beautiful. And you would never have known it was constructed out of tarps. That's how the care that was taken to put this together by a subcontractor. And it was hung on the side, not just of any building, but it was hung on the side of the new construction of the legislative office buildings for the legislature of Virginia. So this was not just any random building. This was the seat of government authority in Richmond, in the state capitol. And the governor's office, somebody in his administration, and we're still trying to get a handle on who, whether it was the governor himself or someone else, made the decision that that flag represented a target for the protests and the protesters that we've been seeing tearing up the streets and businesses of Richmond on a nightly basis for the last few weeks. And so somebody in the administration said that's a target for those protesters and we have to take it down and hide it rather than standing up for it being a symbol of everything that unites us as a people. We capitulated to the anti-American left and took down Old Glory.
Did the governor put a white flag up in its place?
Had not thought of that, but that probably was a good would have been a good retort. But no, he did essentially surrender to the mob, and the mob has been running the streets of Richmond for some time now, and they've been making demands and getting their way. And this was this is the saddest part of that chapter, even though it was purely symbolic. Everything it represents symbolically is very troubling. Again, that this last remaining symbol of everything that unifies us as a people was taken down.
Well, Todd, I would have to think as a delegate there in the House of Delegates in Virginia, and you've served in leadership role there. Years ago I spoke there at the House of Delegates for a piece of legislation that they were entertaining that I had passed in Louisiana, and it was awesome for me just to stand in that place in history that Virginia has occupied in our nation. I mean, it wasn't just another state, you know, it was a colony and it was a leading colony. I would have to think that a lot of people in Virginia are grieved over the direction and the capitulation of your present governor.
So much so. And I think, frankly, the degree to which even Democrats in Virginia are willing to give in to the outwardly, openly anti-American left within their party. I think they misunderstand truly where most Americans are on these symbols, upon our freedoms, everything that makes us great, everything that made us the greatest country with the most prosperous people on the face of the earth. And it's not even close. The freest, most prosperous people in history. I think most people still embrace that. And I pray that is the truth and that is that I'm not missing something. And even though anti-American sentiment is growing, even in our own country, among the anti-American left, and their size and their voice is growing, I would hope that at the end of the day, this is a huge miscalculation by the governor and his ilk that people are going to embrace this sort of thing going forward.
I tend to agree with you. I think you're right. I do think this is an overreach. But I would also add to this, Todd, and I think you can probably speak to this in the few moments we have left, is that complacency of those who care about this country and love this country, but yet just kind of are on the sidelines, that allows this to happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, Virginia is a case study in what happens when citizens are complacent about their state.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, we had a robust supermajority here just a few years ago in the legislature in the House of Delegates. And I did serve as majority leader. And now I am the minority leader because of the shifting political winds here in Virginia. And Virginia is a bellwether for the rest of the country. And I think it should be instructive to people all across the country that if they whatever their values are, if they are godly values, if they are American values, if they are just, you know, freedom, there are forces on the march that really hate those ideals. Everything about, you know, the essence of what people think the world is about and their worldview, they hate those things, and they are coming for them in every form. And unless people are willing to get up and change the way they do business and get engaged as citizens, I'm afraid all may be lost. So we still have a chance, Tony, but this was instructive.
Yeah, it's all hands on deck. Delegate Todd Gilbert, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for continuing the fight there in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Thanks for having me today.
You can find out more about Todd Gilbert when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'd also encourage you to help FRC continue to produce this radio program. Just visit TonyPerkins.com and click on the donate button. That's TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins Tony to talk about disturbing reports out of China.
In today's culture, it can be difficult for men to navigate what it means to be a man and to find clear models of masculinity and manhood. There are many competing ideas out there and even confusion around the basic concepts of gender and sex. Join a Stand Courageous Men's Conference near you and tackle the critical aspects of masculinity. It's led by men who are seasoned, compassionate leaders who understand the issues of the day and will invest in you as a man. Join us at one of our upcoming events. Learn more at standcourageous.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Monday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about China's takeover of Hong Kong and the disturbing abuse of Uyghur Muslims in China.
Secretary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you again. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great fourth, too.
I did, sir, and I hope you did as well. It was nice to have a long weekend with the family, barbecuing, and just enjoying the freedoms that so many have given all to secure for us.
Amen.
Well, let me just start with a very pointed question. Is there anything that you could hear about China that would shock you at this point?
When you stare at General Secretary Xi's actions and just lay them down against the most fundamental human rights, the most unalienable rights that we know each of us has because we're made in the image of God, there is an enormous mismatch. And we know the history in Tibet. We've now watched this national security law in Hong Kong just take freedom away, freedom that the Chinese Communist Party had promised to deliver to those people. And you want the Chinese people to be successful, and you want them to live good lives, and you want the United States to have a relationship. But we know what communist regimes do. We know the way authoritarian regimes treat their people all too often, and that's what we're seeing in China today.
Well, Mr. Secretary, you've made no secret about it. One of the top priorities for the Department of State under your leadership, under the leadership of President Trump, is religious freedom. And what we see coming out of China, in particular as it applies to Uyghurs, both an ethnic group but a religious orientation, they are being targeted. And the reports coming out, this latest report about forced sterilization, forced birth control, including forced abortions. This is, I would say shocking, but not shocking, but certainly troubling to see the length to which they are going to basically create cultural genocide for the Uyghurs.
Tony, we've seen this action now for years. It has only escalated, and we do all that we can diplomatically to call out this misbehavior. You mentioned the action that we took last week. It wasn't just the State Department, it was other government agencies as well, making it clear that businesses that are connected to this activity, whether that is the forced sterilization or the forced abortions, these are the kind of things that you remember reading about from the worst times of the last century. Businesses that are connected to that will be held to account. They will be held responsible for their actions. Precisely how we'll do that, we've left open-ended because we want to put them on notice first. We want the, each company to make its own decision. We watch American businesses claim that they are good stewards, working not only for profit but for good outcomes and for the protection of human rights and decency. Any business leader who says that they stand for those things that we all care about and who is engaged in activities that are connected to this Chinese Communist Party activity in Xinjiang can't hold those two thoughts in their head at the same time, and the United States isn't going to permit it to continue.
You know, Mr. Secretary, the irony is, you know, 20 years ago when the argument was being made that China should have a permanent most favored nation status because economic engagement activity between the two countries would bring about a greater appreciation for human rights. But it appears that as we see some of those businesses that are benefiting from the human rights abuses, the forced labor in China, that it may have been the reverse, where many of these Fortune 500 international companies have been more influenced by China than China influenced by them.
Yeah, Tony, the theory of the case that was a more economic opening will lead to more political freedoms, more fundamental rights being provided to the Chinese people just turned out not to have been true. It just didn't work, and I'm not criticizing those who came before. We can now plainly see that it didn't work, and that means the United States has to take a different path. President Trump's laid that path out pretty clearly. He is the first president, and this is not partisan. This is Republican and Democrat presidents before him allowed China to engage in trade relationship with the United States that caused middle America, working people all across the United States to lose their jobs. And we can now see not only was there that economic damage done to the United States, but the people inside of China weren't treated properly as well. Twin evils.
So, Secretary Pompeo, you said there are other federal entities involved in the announcement last week. That includes the Department of Treasury, Commerce, and Department of Homeland Security. Essentially, as you said, you're putting these businesses on notice. I'm assuming that, as I said earlier, ignorance is no excuse. They will be held accountable if they're benefiting from the human rights abuses that China is engaging in.
That's right. Look, we are engaged in conversations. A number of companies already have reached out to us and said, hey, we're not sure what we've exactly where in our supply chain. Sometimes it's more complicated than one might think. So we try to help them figure their way through it. We try to make sure. But many companies have come in and said, hey, we want to comply. We want to get this right. We don't want to have anything to do with this. We don't believe that we do. Can you help us make sure? We'll do everything we can. Others have come in saying, hey, we know we may well have a problem. Please help us try and figure our way to fix it. Those are the ways that we want to address this. Those are those voluntary compliance companies stepping forward and saying, hey, I don't want to touch this. My customers aren't going to want me to do this. It's not the right thing to do. That's what we're hoping businesses will come to us and share with us their concerns, and we'll work through it. For those who choose not to, who chose to think, no, goodness gracious, I'm just going to continue to go turn a profit on the backs of human trafficking or forced labor, those are the kind of things that when the time is right, we will ensure don't continue to happen. It gives them an unfair advantage against those companies who have refused to do it, and it's just plain old wrong.
That makes a lot of sense. And so, Secretary Pompeo, I would ask you a question. With that being the goal of actually voluntary compliance, what can our listeners do? What can the American consumer do to aid in this process?
Well, we've watched consumers who all have to make decisions. We've seen consumers make decisions about the companies they purchase products from. They should all be aware that this kind of activity is taking place. There's no master list, to the best of my knowledge, of those companies that are there at this point, but I'm sure at appropriate time there will be. But more important than that is we know that people who work for those companies don't want to be part of this. We hope they'll all make plain to their supervisors, to their company, that this is that our company can be successful without engaging in this kind of activity. That's the kind of thing we hope to raise awareness on all across the world, not just in the United States, but everywhere that freedom-loving people simply want every human being to have the basic unalienable rights to which the Lord has entitled them.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo, last week, the national security law pushed through by China governing Hong Kong went into place. We saw immediately a crackdown. your concern about Hong Kong and where it's headed?
So now, several weeks back, it became clear that Hong Kong was no longer autonomous, that the promise of one country, two systems, a 50-year commitment, now some 23 years in, the Chinese Communist Party has chosen to break that commitment to those people. There have been brave leaders demanding that they continue to have their freedoms. Those people are at real risk of now having the national security law, which has no due process guarantees, could apply extraterritorially and certainly could apply to those who aren't of Hong Kong origin or residence. This is a broad law. It could put people in jail for life. And these are the kinds of things that we have worried about. It now makes Hong Kong no longer that special place, and that's just another communist-run city, unfortunately.
This is a this concern, I should say, is a bipartisan issue. You have Democrats, Republicans both speaking out. We have congressional action taking place here. There are economic tools that are being employed. Is there any additional action going to be taken to aid or help those that may be targeted by the communist regime who have been the leaders of the democracy movement?
So collectively, we're going to do that. You've seen that the United Kingdom has made an announcement they're going to accept up to, I think it's 3 million people who might want to leave Hong Kong. I know other countries have made that commitment as well. The United States will do its part to be sure to protect those people as best we can who are engaged in activities trying to just demand simple, basic freedoms. Unfortunately, the Chinese Communist Party has made this decision to turn on the people of Hong Kong in ways that are inconsistent with the promises they made to them, and we're going to do all that we can to shine a spotlight on that and make sure, too, as the president said in his remarks, those who are responsible for the decisions with respect to Hong Kong will be held accountable by the United States.
Secretary Mike Pompeo, I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank you for continuing to keep a spotlight on the issue of religious freedom around the world. It's moving the needle, and many, many men, women, and children are experiencing and will experience freedom as a result. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Bless you. Have a good day.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.